You're listening to
Cattails. You're listening to Cattails and welcome. In this edition, I share a drink with former In Excess and Noisework frontman John Stevens, and he doesn't do things by halves. A brush with death, a close encounter with a crocodile, and the formation of supergroup The Dead Daisies are just a few of the antics that he's been involved in during the last year. The Dead Daisies' self-titled debut album was laid down in a record 2 weeks and is already garnering huge acclaim. Then again, with their first single Rock and Load being co-written by none other than Slash, how can they possibly go wrong? This is The One with John Stevens. Thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Yeah, pleasure. No problem.
So, we're sitting here at the UEA, and you're on a tour now that's been lasting for quite some time.
We've been over from Australia since... We left on the 17th, it's now the 27th, so 10 days ago we left, and... got here, it's all a bit of a blur, really. Because, you know, coming from Sydney up to London... It stuffs you around. It takes you like, you know, at least 5 days to just get sort of equalised. So,
yeah, sure.
You know.
So you don't know quite know where you are. Don't even know what date
I'm
it is.
I'm sort of coming good now. You know, well, I don't know what date it is actually. I'm obviously even
looking. Me neither. But, doesn't matter, does it really?
Not really. Sharp, do the gig.
But you've got about 12 more dates or so to go, haven't you, before the new year?
Yes.
How is that taking its toll on you? Is that quite good for you?
I have been touring. I've had one weekend off since the end of July.
Right, there you go. Wow. Dear, you're as tired as me then.
It's just another. We get home on the 24th of December because we're going to Israel after this. We've got 3 shows in Israel.
So, right.
Been really exciting. The Dead Daisies sort of getting some UK.
That's good.
Yeah, I mean, it's always good to come and tour in other places and people see you. And,
so how did it all get going then? Tell me about the story, because this is a new venture really, isn't it, for you?
It is. It's a new venture because it's got a name. It's got a new name and it's got new music. So, of course it's a new venture. And David and I, we got together and with a view to write some songs, and we were so it's just chemistry was great. We were really prolific really quickly. And, you know, in a short space of time, we had a whole lot of songs, ideas and bits and pieces and riffs and melodies, and we just recorded them, and that's what the album is.
And it all came together.
Well, yeah, it always comes together.
Eventually.
But you gotta have a, you gotta be focused and do your stuff. Just David and I and Bill, we went away, and it was, I'd worked with John before, so. And you read it, so it was 12 days of.
I read 12 days. That's quite quick, isn't it, really?
It's a way of recording, it's an attitude as well. You know, you give yourself a deadline, and normally, you're always focused on it, even when you're sleepless. The mechanics and we're moving, how long is a piece of string I've made? Yeah. I've been in studios for months and months and months making. You get stale. Mm-hmm. Certainly in later years of recording, I've always found that capture the moment, capture the energy as fast as you can, because it comes in and it goes out.
Yeah, sure.
That's what I always try to do. It's kind of like a live performance. It's that moment in time.
Right. And then it's gone. It's fleeting.
It's gone,
transient. And it's done.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is a bit of an unusual kind of lineup for a band. As it kind of flows, it comes through. There's new people coming in, people coming out. It's rotating.
Rotated on a couple of levels. Yeah. When we started in Australia, we got offered the ZZ Top and Aerosmith tour. So we used the Australian guys. And Charlie was the first person who came in. He's a very, very old dear friend. So. He introduced us to be with Guns N' Roses, and it just sort of just sort of grew from there.
It's an unusual approach, though, isn't it?
It's kind of like, Charlie, if he had called me and said, well, we need this, I would have gone, this guy over here, he's here, and we can just match. But by the same token, once they hear the music and the new thing, I want to be part of that, because it's established. And it's something completely fresh from the ground up. You can go anywhere.
Yeah, sure. You mentioned ZZ Top. They did, support for them, didn't you, in Australia?
Yeah, we did a couple shows with them. And
they went on to do Aerosmith.
Yeah.
So how did
in Australia and New Zealand. Same thing.
It was
word of mouth. Record and people hearing the record, and that was the case putting the band together.
Doesn't it? And having contacts and having people
Yeah, but you still got to show up and deliver.
Well, of course.
And me, with me playing in Australia, we just would show up and play, and people would be going, so there's the element of prize and, didn't go out and you know, because I'm excited to be in the band, be a part of it, you know.
This is it, isn't it, really? Yeah. It's what you've always done, I guess, isn't it?
It is.
So you've had quite a, should we say, I remember seeing you actually in Excess, actually. No, I was going to say that. I was not going to say that. It was a very fruitful and exciting career, I think. But I did see you when you were in Excess. Mm-hmm. Was that a surprise coming out of the
band? No, they'd asked me a number of times and I was busy. I was living in America. I came back from America and they were doing this tour with Tim Rice, Spectacular, actually. Well, I was actually asked to do it, but I said no. I, you know, caught up with the ball. So they were, they wanted to do a one-off gig. So we had one rehearsal, learnt 23 songs.
Take some guts.
I knew all the songs anyway. You know, I know the melodies. I didn't know the words, so it was just,
Make them up as you go along.
No, you can't do that. You know?
No, the fans don't know.
Yeah, and I'm a fan, so I knew, so I wanted to be, It's like just karaoke there for me. At the very beginning, it was karaoke. It was so familiar there in the DNA.
Effective of following, obviously, Michael Hutchins.
Look, singing great songs is always a pleasure. Knowing Michael, we've been really stoked. Very happy, in fact. Because, and I used to explain it this way with people out of South America or even come here, and people say, well, Ray Charles, Chrissy Hynde, Jimmy Barnes and me.
Yeah. That's fine,
there
then.
There you go.
That's good, though. Is it different when you're sort of filling in on the, following somebody than it is sort of like doing your own stuff?
Yes,
I mean, it's just performance.
Singing those great songs, there's nothing wrong with that. But after 3.5 years of touring the world, it got a bit stale, very stale, actually, because it's kind of, it was like some new music. What are you doing? Stop bleeding the memory,
Wow.
And that's still happening.
Yeah.
So, I got out at the right time, and as much as I couldn't see myself doing that, because I was writing a lot of songs and I just wanted to do something else.
Yeah. And you did quite a bit of solo stuff as well, haven't you?
Yeah.
Is that better or probably not, it's better or worse, it's just different type of band.
Yeah, it's great to be in this band though. Great to be in a band, that is actually really being, it's new and it's fresh, though, with all the experience. It's like, Well, I'm standing there.
Yeah, well, that's right. That's good, isn't it? Good stuff.
He's joined us because he wants to.
Why not?
Well.
So you've got the new album out. That's just come out here.
Yes.
How's it all sort of been received? Has it been?
Well, here in the UK, from what I can see, it's been incredibly well received. And we're really grateful for that because obviously that brought us over here, you don't realise how much work has been done. I mean, Classic Rock Magazine did a lot of work and, there's been a lot of people, even in the radio and stuff here, and who've just been really supportive of the band. And you don't know that until you come here. You read things and you hear about things, but, we're on the other side of the world.
Yeah.
But when you actually come here and you see that, there's a vibe and people are actually digging it, it's really gratifying. Because, we're older guys. We're under no illusions. And we're not trying to make it big. We're just making fucking music.
Yeah. Just enjoying ourselves.
It's more than that. It's hard work. But, you're doing what you love. It's not really hard work if you're doing what you love.
Yeah.
It's joy. You have your up nights or light days and you have your down days and done nights. The hardest thing about what we do is being away from your family.
Yeah.
That's the hardest thing.
Yeah.
Other than that, if you're doing
life is short,
we're in a minority and life is short.
Yeah. Talking of which, a fishing accident or is it some sort of a Crocodile Dundee incident or something?
No.
It's not so long ago.
Crocodile.
What was that all about?
I was fishing with my son. We always go fishing, and we had a week off before going to America on tour, and I went fishing up in the top end of Australia where I've been a couple of times before. It's a very isolated area. We're diving, we're fishing, we're doing all break my thumb, which I still can't remember.
Oh, no, look at that.
And I broke my leg. I didn't know it was broken at the time. Felt like a sprain. And anyway, he asked for him to get me out of there because we're up in nowhere, no man's land.
God. It's Crocodile Dundee, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, hell yeah. So it's no joke. He's no joke up there.
That's terrible.
They catch great fish. We were mud crabbing at the time, so we're at the tide was out and the mangroves are down and they're getting for lunch, Boat, catch some fish, cook it up on the boat, eat.
Sounds good. When there's no crocodiles around.
It's a place called Haggerstone Island. Island. Oh, check it out online.
Oh,
it's
a
Robinson Crusoe experience. It's amazing.
Oh, wow. Sounds good.
It's insane. It's my favourite place in the world.
Is it?
Yeah, but I'm a bit adventurous.
Oh, that's all right. That's good. You want to be like that. Okay. But that's not just your sort of like closest brush with death, is it, really?
I did, 4 years ago,
Wow, what happened there?
Open heart, so double heart bypass. Check up. What happened there is that found out I have a hereditary condition which 7 of my brothers and sisters, including me, have. They've inherited from my Scottish father. And
they're always a bit iffy up there.
It's heart disease.
I'm half Scottish, actually, so yeah. I know.
Heart disease, yeah. And, I had no symptoms. I just went going for a checkup. My doctor, went for a checkup. And I passed every test. Passed all the fitness tests, blood tests. Everything was fine, and he sent me for an MRI scan at the very end. Because of your family history, you're going to have an MRI scan. So I had my MRI scan, and 20 minutes after leaving the MRI office, I get a phone call saying, what are you doing? So I'll have lunch. Get in your car and drive to Prince of Wales Emergency now.
Oh, my God.
And do not go home. Do not. So I drive myself to the emergency. Feeling absolutely 100% normal, and basically they got me, sent me in a wheelchair, plugged me out, and went, we got you. You're about to drop dead. So what are you talking about? Your main left artery is 99.9% blocked, and you're not going to have a heart attack. You're going to drop dead.
Shit.
Because it was the main left artery. It's like, you'll be out like just like that.
And you had no symptoms or anything?
Shortness, when I reflect on it, a little shortness of breath, but the shortness of breath came after I was running around the beach and, going to the gym and, the day before I did 8 kilometres. Very lucky, and hence, I guess the name Dead Daisies, a lot of people asked me and resonated the most with me, mainly because I should have been pushing up daisies.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So, that's...
John, that's it.
We're all dead daisies.
Well, sooner or later, that's where we all end up, I suppose, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
My God. Incredible. So, in a way, it's almost like a second lease of life for you then, isn't it, really, from the point of view of after this surgery, which obviously you've recovered from.
I've recovered from, but I take medication every day. Maintain a certain level of healthy equilibrium.
Red wine instead of, is good for the heart, instead of white.
Like 2 glasses, apparently.
But they do say it's good for you. Oh, my goodness me. So, anyway, that means that you're okay and you're all right to go on tour and you're out there and you're still doing your stuff.
I just saw the cardiologist before I came up, actually. Yeah, he was good. He actually said, oh, he checked my blood. He said, oh, you're a bit down, is everything okay? And I went, all my bloods and stuff, I was missing a few things. And, and I explained to him that I'd just been in America for 2 months and I broke my leg and went with him. That'll be it.
That'll be it.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, no. Oh, look, well, thank you very much for talking to us. That's been absolutely marvellous.
Oh, thanks.
You've been a real star.
No worries,
thank you very much for the wine.
Pleasure.
Very, very nice.
Enjoy.
We're looking forward to your show later today. So,
cool.
Thank you much.
Pleasure. Thanks, Kat.
You've been listening to Kat. To listen again to this and other tales, go to cattales.co.uk.